When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody. This is Tim Heidecker. I really wanted to start today on a positive note and thank everybody for joining us. We're looking forward to having a great show today.
Hello, everybody.
It is, it's Thursday, November 12th, and it's, 10 a.m. on the Pacific time zone, as I could tell. Looking forward to having a great show today.
Hello, everybody.
I want to make strangers laugh.
Well, it's Thursday. Wait a minute, I'm hearing myself.
What the hell?
What is that?
That's is that me? Is that me?
Oh, that might be me.
10 a.m. I like it. Let's have
that's
cool.
That is so
that was me. That was me.
Keep it going.
So just keep that going. All right. Yeah.
10 a.m. What do you want me to say? What do you want me to say today? I don't have a clear message today. And the thing.
Wait a minute.
And he will raise you up on eagle's wings. There you are, the breath of dawn. Make you to shine like the sun. And hold you in the palm of his hand. Good morning. All right, good afternoon to some of you out there, honestly. Oh, here we go. How you doing? I work with Stanley Kubrick on 2001. I was the guy in the ape suit.
What the fuck is this?
Motherfucker had me in there all day. Couldn't fucking breathe. Told me, we're doing it again. By the way, there's a terrific book
again.
About Vic. Do you know what is the connection between my Beatles,
God damn,
and my 2001 Space Odyssey? Does anyone know the connection there?
Connection between the Beatles.
I should find out this. There's a man. It's a man. There's a man. There's always a man. Does anyone in the audience know? That'll be the question today. We present to the audience the connection between the Fab Four. And 2001, it's a person.
I'd say one of the actors was in the studio at the time when they were recording Abbey Road.
Get the fuck out. Let's take a zoom. Well, hold on.
You fucking cunt.
Is that Dudley Moore? I love it. Couple things to get out of the way. We got a terrific show today. We've got Dave Weigel's going to call in from the road. I believe where did he say he was, Matt? He's out there covering some of these Stop the Steal protests happening right now. He's going to gloat. I appreciate him. I would hope he would gloat. He deserves to gloat. As he has predicted on our show, our big live election coverage show last Tuesday. And Constantine Anthony is a very... You're going to enjoy this interview. He is a recently elected city councilman from Burbank, who I did some fundraising for. He is a DSA guy. He is a member of the Democratic Socialists of America. He's an interesting guy. We're going to hear about his journey. How
two complicated life forms getting to know each other.
Right. That's exactly correct.
Yeah.
So we got a lot on the plate today. A lot of stuff going on. Obviously, we have America's president contesting the election. We're following that closely. And
if you want a good cigar.
We want to talk about the Four Seasons. Obviously, my hit song, Rudy at the Four Seasons, is now being discussed in every major music publication, from NME, New Musical Express, to all the others. So
now
it's one of those deals. I throw it up into the internet, and people just fall in love with everything I do. So we're happy for that.
USA!
Today's show, we should get some of the business out of the way very quickly. We are looking, by the way, at 100. We're looking to cross the 100,000 mark on the YouTube subscribers. What does that mean to you, Matt? Producer Matt.
Big changes.
Big changes. Huge growth in the past couple months.
A whole nother number.
On the show. It's a benchmark that we're excited about. We're at 99,000 and change.
99,500.
99,500. So throughout the course of today's show, we hope to get over that delineating mark, which everyone has been really excited about. I know Doug called me this morning around 6. He said, I didn't sleep a wink. All I'm thinking about is crossing that 100,000 mark, that benchmark. I say, hello, what is it, Doug? It's 6 a.m. Is there a problem? An emergency?
Tim, I heard we're coming up on 100K.
Yeah. Yeah, we're
you
at 99.
Up? You up?
I'm up, yeah. I'm up now. What is it?
I heard we're coming up on the 100K, and what do we got to do about this? How are we going to get there?
Well, we got to talk about it on the show. Maybe do a sketch where you call me.
Okay, I have one cell phone ringing sound. I can just
sit
hit that
relax.
Over and over.
Enjoy yourselves a cup of Three Stooges coffee and enjoy the show.
Anyways, a lot of exciting things happening in that department. We're obviously taking your super chats. If you super chat us today, we will read your comment to the best of our abilities if we get time for it. So somebody, anytime we get a $5 or more, we'll get the cash register sound. And everyone loves that sound. It's positive reinforcement. Today is City of the Day. We got to get to City of the Day real quick, guys.
Wait, you got to promote Drop Concert.
Huh? Dropconcert.com. 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 This is the deal, folks. A couple months ago, another innovation in the world of live streaming podcasting, morning radio, morning entertainment, we developed the live Drop Concert experience. A lot of you were there. You were there, Doug. You were there, Vic. Welcome to the show, Vic, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
And welcome back, Doug.
Thank you, Tim. Thank you.
It's terrific to have you back. Although you really weren't gone because you were a part of the show on Zoom in the past week, and it's been terrific.
I got a couple jokes in, but it's not the same.
It's not the same.
I'll never leave again. I'm moving into the compound. Oh, are you going to mention that?
Moving with me.
Tim, that...
The compound?
The fact that I'm moving into the compound with Vic.
Yes, you are. You guys are sharing
I'll be Vic's nanny.
Vic and Doug are sharing a twin bed. It's very interesting. See how that will work.
Split the chores up.
We might, maybe we should get a Casper sponsorship so we can get Vic and Doug their own beds.
Tim, Halloween was last week.
Very good. No, Drop Concert was a huge success. We had a really fun live stream of Vic and Doug, and to some degree, me. To a minor degree, almost like a special cameo appear.
Shit.
And everyone loved it. It was a very popular experience for everybody. What we did with that is, if you notice, during that, we filmed it with some of the best cameras they have. And we edited it because I had the vision. I said, this could be a concert film, almost like The Song Remains the Same or The Last Waltz.
I have so many great ideas.
Oh! Stop making sense! So what we did was we edited it. We thought, hey, that's pretty good. But you know what would really crank it up a notch? Give it to the genius Ben Levin. Give it to the genius Ben Levin and say, animate this. Add something to it. Add a level to this. Add a layer to this. And boy, the kid ran with it. I never seen anything like it. Such a burst of creativity.
Somebody acknowledge the genius here.
He did. I am. I'm acknowledging Ben Levin is a goddamn genius. He's a genius.
I'm a creative genius.
What came out of the thing was this beautiful motion picture. It's a film, folks. So what we're going to do is have a screening of it that you're invited to. We're inviting you. The ticket is how much, Matt?
$12.
Give me the particulars. $12.
Unless you're a Patreon, it's $9.
It's $9 if you're a Patreon. Patreon.com/OfficeHoursLive. But if you're not a patron, that's fine. We still appreciate you. $12 ticket. Doug and Vic will have a moderator. We'll be there to answer your questions.
Are we doing the questions before or after?
I think you would traditionally do them after.
And we're going to...
There's going to be a pre-show with some fun best of
special videos. How about beforehand we do state... People can do statements.
You want to make
a director's statement?
No, audience statements.
Instead of questions?
Yeah, I like that. And then after questions.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Also, like beforehand, we're going to show some classic videos, maybe some unreleased videos from me, right. Vic, and Benjamin Levin.
It's our monthly gift, except it's not a gift. It's just a show. But it's the way we've been doing it this year, folks. We don't stop just because of the raging Trump virus that has decimated the entertainment industry. We've taken this as an opportunity, despite everything that this, our failed, disgraced, I don't call him a president. He is technically the president for another month or so. But
we've done too good a job.
despite all the odds, we have managed to turn lemonade from what was terrible, bitter lemons, some of the worst lemons we've ever experienced. And so that's what we continue to do. And the audience has been never more, the audience has been so appreciative. The messages I get on behalf of, first of all, Office Hours, drop, concert, enthusiasm is through the roof. The messages on Moonbase have been through the roof. The messages on the stand-up special, through the roof. So everyone's coming to the table, and they're saying, or they're going to the checkout checkout counter and say, thank you so much for the wonderful desserts and foods. Can I move along now?
Thank
can I get
you,
to the city of the day?
Permission granted.
City of the day. Well, that's coming in real quiet.
What
city
is that?
Of the day.
Everybody, get up off your chairs. Come on.
City of the day. Ain't much more to say.
City of the day, again, longtime listeners or people that follow the show closely know that there is a code. The code today, perhaps, I don't think it's going to be any help to anybody. The city of the day is Las Vegas, Nevada. Our sponsor today is the Cuckoo Clock. The cuckoo clock. We all know cuckoo clocks, right? With the bird that comes out. This is the letter Q, coup, as in trying to take over the country. The cuckoo clock. Are you ready for the apocalypse but waiting for the Q drop to let you know that 0 hour is here? Then the cuckoo clock is exactly... The cuckoo clock is exactly what you need. The constant high-pitched whine lets you know the clock is functioning, and the blank face means it's not time to let freedom ring just yet. As Q gets close to calling for a coup, the volume increases until it finally reaches a 140 decibel scream. Then it's time to grab your gun and get to work because it's cuckoo o'clock. The cuckoo clock also has a suicide mode in the event that George Soros helps Biden steal the election. Easily end your life by splitting your skull in half with an American-made 12-inch steel rotating saw blade. What? Just line up the clock with your forehead and the blade. Wow, okay. And let the blade... This is sort of like a Harry Carey situation. The blade will swiftly extend, making one clean cut. Soon you'll be in heaven with all your fellow patriots, because where we go, one we all go! Oh, so stop refreshing 8chan and relax. The cuckoo clock has got your back. Terrific stuff, everybody. Let's hear it for the cuckoo clock. Creativity has now reached an apex. The mind is sharp. The funny bone is in a
tickle.
Has been tickled. The funny bone is exactly a precise, beautiful bone. We're singing in the streets, ladies and gentlemen. We've had a comedy revolution this morning. Clock. Let's see. City of the day, Las Vegas. I said the Las Vegas Strip is the brightest place on earth. So much happiness there. The weather there is a high of 64 and a low of, Doug, hit me hard with it.
58.
44.
Ooh, way lower than I thought.
Ooh, the wind is blowing at 3 miles an hour.
It's been cold.
I love it.
Isn't this like the coldest it's ever been in
LA? It's wonderfully brisk out. It almost feels like an actual East Coast fall
weather. Is it still hot out there?
Enough's enough.
And what do we got else? Well, let's take a zoomer. What do we got else?
You want to get into puns or you want to just take a general? Well,
I'll take a pun. I'll take, hopefully that turns into a nice conversation. But I'll tell you something, folks. We have a pun. We haven't done puns in a while, and we have a pun contest today, which is, frankly, around. We decided it was around the idea of space, planets, space travel, NASA, astronauts, whatever you want, in honor of Moonbase 8 airing on Showtime Sunday nights. A lot of you just binged the whole thing. You just fucking slammed it down. You can't hang. You can't wait. You can't dole things out. You just slammed it down. That's the way the cookie crumbles.
Zach, make some noise so your camera comes up, please.
Zach Attack.
Hey, what's going on?
Time for a Zach Attack. What's up, Zach?
I'm over here at the Four Seasons, but everyone left, so.
Oh, you're at the Four Seasons.
You're still there.
Yeah, Rudy's over here. He's a little upset about how things went the other day.
This guy, Zach, looks like the dude from, what are they called? The Trump guys that we've had on the show, the good liars?
A Trump guy.
No, the good liar. They troll Trump.
Yeah, the troll Trumps.
Cookies.
Oh, that's good.
They had a funny video where they interviewed this woman who was waving a Trump flag protesting the steal or whatever. And they were like, yeah, I know about voter fraud. I got convicted of it during the last election. She voted twice for Trump and then got caught.
Oh my God.
Wow. I'm
pretty sure they're like 0-for-12 in court right now with their lawsuits. They're all just ridiculous, fucking stupid lawsuits.
Yeah, I saw a couple. I mean, I'm not following it too closely, but
they're all ridiculous.
The anecdotal ones were like some of the affidavits of people. They were like, I saw this guy is looking at me weird. He gave me a weird look. That's the evidence they're bringing forth. Or that the music was too loud. We couldn't, I don't know. Yeah. What, Zach, what do you got? I mean, we could talk about this all day, but what do you got for me today?
I got space puns or the fact that, I don't know if you saw that Lieutenant Governor from Pennsylvania, Fetterman, that dude is freaking awesome. I don't know if you've seen him at all. He looks like this huge, mechanic dude.
He's awesome. Yeah. Vic.
We were trying to get him on the
show
this week.
What's your connection to him?
Oh, he just follows me.
He just follows me. Anybody from Pennsylvania, probably.
I thought you had some kind of personal connection to him.
No, he's always around Bethlehem. He's at the Brewworks a lot.
Is he a Bethlehem guy?
No, he's not, but he's like around there. Like, there's a lot of events there. Oh, okay. And yeah, I just know people like him in the area.
What is his backstory? Do we know? Like,
I don't know.
It does seem like he was either like a security guard or a pro
Metallica
wrestler.
Security guard.
He's awesome.
His wife is awesome too.
Yeah.
I'll bet she is. What's her deal?
I think she's like, she's an undocumented immigrant, but she like makes no secret about it. She's proud of it. She's pretty cool.
Okay. And he's close, like with the governor, it seems. And he's like, he's, you know, I think able to push Wolf a little further to the left, I would think, you know, just based on their conversations I see online.
Okay.
All right. What's your pun?
What's your pun?
I got puns.
Go ahead. Kick it off. Kick off the day with a fun space pun.
All right. What's our universal interstellar form of currency?
What is our universal interstellar form of currency? I'd love to know, because that's going to come in handy.
This was one of mine. Starbucks, right?
Oh, Vic, you got this one? Do the review.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Is it Starbucks?
It's Starbucks.
Nice. Congratulations. Doug, I kick it over to you.
Why does the slob prefer steak over salad?
Why does the slob prefer steak over salad?
Because it's meatier.
It's meatier. Well, that reminds me.
I'm starting off slow. I'm going to hit you with that.
That was one of my. I had that too.
You had a meteor. I had a meteor. I had to get that out because I figured someone's going to meteor.
We're going to do. Yeah, we're going to get there.
I got another one.
Okay, go ahead.
We should let Vic do one.
Oh no, go ahead. Go ahead, and then I'll go.
Go ahead, Zach.
Go ahead.
All right. Why was the moon panhandling for money?
Why was the moon panhandling for money? I have no idea. Yeah.
He was down to his last quarter.
Okay. We're gonna stop down office hours.
Let me do a moon one after
I need
this.
To retool Vic, everything.
Let Vic do one. I got a moon one.
I don't even know if this is a pun technically, but it's how did the swimmer die in outer space?
How did the swimmer how did the swimmer die? Was he wearing a space suit?
No, he came up for air. Does that make sense? He came up for air. Because when you're swimming, you come up for air and breathe. And you can't breathe in space.
Wow. Yeah.
Let me try another one.
Where's the fucking sound? Where are the drops?
That was my first one. That was the first one I came up with. What chewy candy do astronauts like best?
Starburst?
No. Hubble gum.
I like that. Help me out with one, because
How can you tell the moon is getting ready for a date?
How can you tell the moon is getting ready for a date? I don't know.
It's waxing.
I appreciate that one.
I got one more for you guys, then I gotta go.
Okay, well then we have to. It's I that has to go. What do you think? We're just hanging out.
My work day to your excellence.
What do you got, Zach?
My son is obsessed with the moon.
Okay.
I'm hoping it's just a phase.
Very good. Thank you, Zach. Good. You came with some heat. You came with some fire. Damn, all the best.
Love you. Moonbase 8, thank you.
Thank you, buddy.
Love you, Vic.
Take care,
love
Vic.
Was that a finalist, that last one?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Why didn't the moon go outside?
Why?
Because it was waning.
Doug, can you write one for me I give you the premise, I'm going for?
Yeah, I'll work on it.
I'm thinking of the Milky Way, right?
Mm-hmm.
But whey is also a way of describing milk, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whey, curds, and whey. Run with that one, would you?
Can I just take it in a different direction?
Yeah.
Okay. Right now? Or can I think about it?
I want to watch the gears turn. I want to see it happen in real time.
Do you want a drum roll for this?
Oh, I got one.
Who is sitting on her thing and then she's eating curds and whey and then some spider came in?
Who?
Who is that? No, this isn't
Miss,
it.
Miss Muffet. Miss Muffet.
Fucking okay. Muffet. How about this? something like, say, milk. He weigh. Like he weighs it.
When little Miss Muffet was in Mexico, what was she eating?
Little Miss Muffet was in Mexico.
When Little Miss Muffet, ladies and gentlemen, from the fairy tale, was in Mexico. What was she eating?
And somebody asked her what she was eating. In broken English, what did she say?
What is it?
Milk-y way. E is like and.
Milk-y.
Look, you put me on the spot here, all right?
Why did Steven Spielberg end up using MDMA and dancing at a rave while writing his 1982 cinema classic? When they came up with the title, he thought they were telling him to eat E.
Eat E.
Why did Uranus fart?
Why?
I don't know, but NASA, good question.
NASA, good question. All right, let's move on from that. Let's pause. We can do puns all day long.
Okay, I got more for later.
You do. We understand that. Let's talk to somebody else, Matt.
No more puns, though?
What? You aren't listening. What I'm saying is, let's move on from the puns. We'll return to them throughout the show. I just don't want to get, I don't want to get mired in them.
Okay. Okay. All right, Julian. No puns, Julian.
We have first son of John Lennon, Julian Lennon, with us today.
Hey Tim, how you doing? Vic
Doug.
I'm sorry. And Doug. I'm so sorry. You guys put me on the spot.
Short memories. Foremost, people go like, "Oh, Doug wasn't on the show last week. I guess he's just no longer alive."
Jeez.
Just want to make a quick announcement. I am 66 days without alcohol.
Yeah. So I'm really, there he is. Really Julian is killing it.
Whoa. Beautiful.
Yes. But thank
I went
you
down
guys
to the
so
corner store
for...
this morning. Wait, I don't know what I got up this morning. I got one of those little Smirnoff bottles. Drank it right away, right, the whole thing down. And now I'm drinking Listerine. What the hell's wrong with me?
You know,
that's terrific.
Sadly,
congratulations, Julian.
That's great, man.
Hey, thank you so much. Yeah, actually, it got to a really bad point where I was drinking, what is it? You make cake with it and stuff. I was drinking that. That was getting pretty bad.
Cake?
But,
vanilla extract, is he saying?
Yeah, extract. Yeah, that's how bad it was getting for me.
Oh, my God.
I'm much better. I'm much better now.
Let me ask you, when you get to that place, are you doing that to just feel normal or to feel fucked up?
Yes.
It's not to...
To feel normal.
What would you feel like without that? You just feel like sick and like aggravated?
Hi, this is Vic Berger here. And you know I don't like stress. That's why I'm personally inviting you to eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious meals. Every Factor meal is fresh and never frozen. It's chef created, dietitian approved, and it's ready to eat in just 2 minutes. I tried the chef's choice meal plan, and it was a chef's kiss of meals that hit all the spots and filled our bellies at the burger household. I know you're asking yourself, what were Vic Berger's favorites? Creamy Dijon pork tenderloin and garlic herb salmon. These are classic dishes that are ready to go with no cleanup and not a problem at all. So get chef-prepared meals on the table in 2 minutes with Factor's ready-to-eat meals. And get back to doing what you love this spring. Now, these are premium meals with premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus. Sign up now! Head to factormeals.com/officehours50 and use code officehours50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code officehours50. OFFICEHOURS50. At factormeals.com/officehours50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. I was doing it to feel normal, and that's when you know it's getting bad, to alleviate anxiety, guilt, depression, but also just the pains that you're feeling from being hungover. It's something I do not wish upon anyone, and I'm telling anyone, this could go with your friends and family and to anyone in the OHL community. If you feel like you have an issue, by all means, get looked at. I mean, right now is the time to really take care of yourself.
Yeah.
And as bad as this year has been, I got to say the silver lining to all of this has been just taking care of yourself. And with that, like getting back to bring this to OHL, this has been such a treat for me. You guys are so talented and you guys have been very inspiring. Matt, you have been an excellent producer. Vic, with your work at Flannel Graph. I listened to my buddy Jared Cheek of Flannel Graph Records posted one of your songs. You have such an unassuming, angelic voice, and I love listening to it. You
that's
are
very
so
sweet
good.
Of you, man. Thank you so much, man.
Thank you. And Vic, you are like the Thelma Schoonmaker of our generation. You are extremely talented, and I hope you are going to be the next Thelma Schoonmaker, and Tim Heidecker will be your Scorsese.
What? What do I have to do now?
It's very nice of you. Dear.
But last thing, I just want to say the very last track on your new album, the Waste Blood track, so beautiful. Oh my god.
Well, the whole
god,
record's great. So I mean, I don't know if we need to focus on the one where she sings the vocals. Right? I mean, everything's a qualification. Yeah. Somebody on Twitter said about Moonbase, they go, man, two of the funniest actors and Tim Heidecker together. This is terrific. Ouch. Anyways, thank you so much. We're rooting for you, Julian. Yes. Terrific.
Keep it up, man.
Life advice.
Peace and love.
Thank you, bud.
And that's a good. It's a good thing. If you do feel like it's, you know, it is. It is a truly a addiction is a biological medical, you know, disease. So, you know, go to your doctor. Talk to your doctor if you feel like you're drinking too much or you're smoking too much weed or you're eating the wrong things. Like, talk to your doctor about it, man. It's tough.
Thank you so
life
much.
Is a life Love is tough, man. It's tough. I'm still like not, you know, I was losing weight and then I was on a good track and then Halloween comes and I'm pounding Snickers. Pounding them.
The pounding.
And then my wife comes back with some C's candy. Hi-yo. That shit's better than anything else. C's almonds.
I don't even know what that
covered
is.
Covered in chocolate.
You did a great job.
It's a local candy company.
You
did a great job.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Julian. All the best to you.
Take care.
Life is hard.
I've been cutting down on the drinking too, and I'll probably eventually just quit altogether. It's good advice.
All right.
We should let's bring Constantine Anthony
on. Oh, Constantine
on.
He here. Is okay,
here.
Cool.
Let's Constantine. Just go right into it.
Stuff that ash with a lot of butter.
Hey guys.
Now Constantine Anthony is with me. This is exciting. Congratulations on your big victory on was it Tuesday that it happened? Normal election
it was,
style?
Yeah, so we're at nine days out. Tuesday night was the election, and I'm now council member elect in the city of Burbank. So.
Here we go. Dun, dun, dun,
dun. Not official until the music plays. So
can I
you.
Ask you, were you confident in your win, or was it a big upset surprise?
Well,
no, I'm just curious.
We do. Like our team knew we were going to win because we had all the internal metrics showing that we were way ahead. And, you know, it's the way you contact people and then how many positive responses you get back. And then you can extrapolate that out to the electorate. So we knew we were going to win, but we weren't sharing that with anybody.
Right.
a lot of people were surprised.
Yeah. I mean, were you running against, so you ran as a member of the DSA.
That's right.
And were you running against a Democrat or a Republican, or how does that work in the city council?
Yeah, it's kind of tough. So there's five members of the city council and only two seats were up this year.
Right.
And it's at large. So the whole city gets to vote on all the seats. It's not like LA where there's districts.
Right.
And basically you run as no party. So you're not a Republican or a Democrat on the ballot.
Right.
It's just your name and your job title. But I ran against seven other people. There were eight candidates running.
Wow.
And, you know, a lot of them were, you know, Democrats because it's a big Democratic stronghold, Adam Schiff territory, as I like to call it. But I was the only one running as an avowed socialist. I was endorsed by DSA. I was also endorsed by Socialist Alternative. Those are the guys that put Shama Sawant in her seat in Seattle City Council. And I was the only candidate they endorsed this entire election cycle because, you know, they're very strict.
They have
a
high bar.
They only endorse like actual Marxists.
Right. They have a high bar. Or a low bar if you're on the other side of the spectrum. But so what's your back? What's your story, man? Like what got you to this place now where you're, you know, this became something you wanted to do?
Well, I was, I was an actor and comedian. I was an actor for 10 years, a comedian for 20 years. I actually do improv comedy. I'm a main stage player over at Comedy Sports here in Los Angeles. And, you know, I've taught at Second City. I've gone through the Groundlings and the Iowa West and all of that stuff. And so I never, you know, thought I'd be doing this in a million years. But I was diagnosed autistic just over 12 years ago. And for me, watching how improv really helped me with my communication and my interaction, I really got into teaching improv to autistic teenagers. That's what happened to me. I started doing improv in high school. And from there, I started to see how much is missing in our disability advocacy in this country, not just in California, but across the whole country. And I started getting into disability rights advocacy and fighting for that kind of change. And that led me to helping political campaigns in 2016 interesting note, Hillary Clinton, when she ran, was the first presidential candidate ever to have a disability rights platform.
Right.
And that was very interesting. A lot of people didn't talk about it. It wasn't big news. Right. So I actually worked on her team to get that passed. I was a Bernie fan. I voted for Bernie, and all of my friends were disappointed when he lost that year. But I went and joined her team. You know, and it's funny. I found a bunch of other Bernie-crats also on her team going, well, what else are you going to do?
Yeah, we gotta stop Trump. You can't just go hide.
Exactly. So we went and worked, and, you know, we got her up to $15 minimum wage. We got her to do $125,000 salary and under for free college. A lot of stuff that it was Bernie folks who jumped into her team and pushed her to the left. And we were really proud about that. But the disability rights part was where I really started. And, you know, after Trump won, I didn't know what else to do. So I ran for city council 4 years ago, right after his election, just on a whim to see if I could do it. Like a bunch of friends of mine are like, "Ah, you can talk in public. Go run for city council."
Right.
And apparently I'm pretty good at it. So here I am.
Yeah. Are you now saying like, oh, you're not like Trump who must have been like, "Oh, I didn't think I was going to win. Fuck. Now I got to do something." Now, how are you going to, so what are you going to do when you get into this city council? Like, what's your goal?
Well, you know, the top goal, of course, currently is the pandemic recovery. So we're doing a lot of economic planning. One of the big things that I got the endorsement from Socialist Alternative for was advocating for a wealth tax. So in California, the most valuable thing you can own is land. And so what I'm pushing for now is to put a measure on the ballot for the next election to tax square footage. So percentage, you know, 15 cents a square foot on anything over the first 1500 square feet. So like small homes and small businesses are exempt,
right.
But you know, places like Kaiser and Disney and Amazon, right. We're getting an Amazon warehouse, is going to get taxed, and we're going to take that money. We're going to give it to the schools. We're going to build infrastructure. We're going to do things, you know, to help the folks here in the city. So that's a big component. And then of course, you know, rent control. Burbank is one of the last cities in LA County that does not have any sort of renter protection. So we're going to work on that.
Right.
There's a whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah. When I, this morning as I was showering, I'll give you guys a little visualization of that. There I am showering with a bar. I use a bar of soap. I'm scrubbing it up everywhere. Constantine, I don't want to make you uncomfortable, but I clean it. I clean everywhere. Okay. And I'm
totally fine.
You have a nice diplomatic smile on your face. I appreciate that. I'm thinking, what is like the most kind of granular like issue that I would want to get involved in on a smaller local level? And the thing that comes really quickly to me is homelessness and or houselessness, if you want to, however you want to describe it. But you know, just driving around this city, this incredibly wealthy, prosperous city with all kinds of amazing, you know, culture in it and really smart, good people all over the place, seeing the tent cities along the LA River, seeing the pockets of under the bridges, just, you know, 2 or 3 miles down from my house, there's a bridge that's just full tent city. That's where I would think a lot of my energy would go in if I was able to be in some kind of local government role or just in my private life. Like, we got to do something about this. It's nuts.
Yeah. And it's actually, speaking of private lives, I've been homeless 3 times in my life.
Wow.
So my disability, you know, prevents me from holding and keeping certain kinds of jobs and that kind of issue, you know. Right. And I find a lot of my other friends who are autistic or have other neurological disabilities have a hard time paying the rent and holding down a job, and they're often homeless. And so for me, one of the reasons I garnered so much support was that I was running to solve homelessness from the standpoint of being homeless.
Yeah. That's a great perspective to have. I mean, what a story to be able to tell as you're talking about this to people.
I mean, you mentioned showers, but in Burbank, we had a shower facility. It's called the Burbank Temporary Aid Center. And it used to give showers 5 days a week. And now they've cut services down to 3 days a week. And I'm sorry, but you know, three days, if you're trying to go out and get job interviews and you're trying to, you know, apply for stuff as an unhoused person, you need to be able to get services when you need them, not on the, you know, time clock of some bureaucracy
right.
that was made up by the city.
I got
these
an idea.
Problems are
Doug's got an up. Idea. I can't wait for this.
Now, Johnny Carson used to be live out of Burbank.
Right.
And now it's in New York or something. Can you bring him back to Burbank?
Bring Johnny Carson back?
Yeah, I'll bring Johnny Carson back. Yes.
Yeah.
We have a plan to resurrect the body of Johnny Carson.
Wow.
And
some weird, wild
him.
Stuff.
That should be top of the list.
That is some weird, wild
day
stuff.
Day one. Should be some day one kind of thing.
Well, I just think homelessness is such a tangible thing where you can see like, geez, that seems like kind of, it feels like kind of something you could actually do something about with a little bit of cash and a little bit of, you know, investment and a little bit of, you know, planning. Come on.
Absolutely. Like, and one of the big problems, I mean, this sounds like it's a total, you know, easy shot to make, but there are so many people who live in these kinds of cities that say, oh, yes, I want to help homelessness. And they say, okay, great. We're going to build a shelter on the end of your block. And they go, oh, no, no, no.
Not here. Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Somewhere else. Not right. in my backyard.
Right.
And that's the biggest problem. You get people who are like very liberal, very left-leaning. You know, they voted for Obama. They want to vote for Obama a third time. That kind of people. Right. And it's like they just don't want to do the work themselves or have it be a burden to them.
Right.
It's a hard hill to climb.
It just seems like, obviously there's, I mean, unless you're talking about a utopian Walt Disney world, Walt Disney Epcot futuristic situation, there's always going to be people that are going through tough times. There's going to be the potential for homelessness, or there's going to be people that prefer that way of life. You know, that's a whole thing too. But the rate that it's at now, and it's only going to get worse next, you know, because the pandemic, the consequences of that are going to be, you know, the aftershocks or the force, whatever, the shocks are still like, are, you know, rampant right now. But it feels like we got to figure out a better system. I could talk about it a lot more, but go ahead. Final
and
word.
And if we tackle it, that's the thing. If we put enough investment into it, yeah, it's going to be a big burden at the beginning. But as we get people housed, as we get people into jobs, as we get people medical care and addiction care and job training, the total number of people is going to go down, and you're only left with that really, really small minority population that will exist in every society.
Yeah.
And that's manageable. That's manageable for any city.
For sure. What are you doing? What is that?
I'm putting on inspiring music.
It's a little weird. You're an inspiration to me, Constantine. By the way, I think it should be Anthony Constantine. Can we make that happen? It's a lot easier to remember.
I'll talk to the Screen Actors Guild, but that's my stage.
Congratulations again. How can people find you? Because I think it's interesting. People out there, my audience, might be interested in getting into government on a smaller level, or at least finding people that they like. And you're on Twitter, obviously. What are you, Constantine Anthony?
You can go to my website, ConstantineAnthony.com. I'm on most other social media as Constantine in California, which is just a CA.
Okay.
But also to everyone else watching, if you want to get involved, you don't have to run, but every city, every county, every municipality has boards and commissions and committees. You get appointed, you get involved, just start showing up. Go to the city council meetings. Most people, when I talk to them, I say, who's your city council member? Who's your mayor? Who's your state assembly member?
Yeah.
Who's your state senator? People don't even know these.
We're divorced from it. We all get so wrapped up in the presidential stuff, which it's fun. Or not necessarily fun, but it grabs your attention for
a
lot of good reasons. But there's way more. We're very politically ignorant when it comes to our surroundings.
Can I ask a question?
Go ahead, Vic.
You're an out socialist, and I'm sure like that term has been soiled by the right, you know, and misrepresented and everything. How do you convince people to get on board with all the great things that you're trying to do, and the Medicare for all, and all of those cool things that people it'll benefit people in society, but then they hear socialism, you know what I mean? Are you going to work towards normalizing it, or how do you go about that?
Well, I mean, I've been a socialist most of my life. Way before, I mean, I learned what socialism was in 1988 at the fall of the Berlin Wall. I looked it up as a kid. I'm like, wait, so everybody gets a little bit of something? I'm okay with that. But for me, when people say, hey, how can you be a socialist? You know, Bernie Sanders really changed how the entire country views socialism. The rest of the world really doesn't have these hangups that the Americans have with the Red Scare. And so I just remind them, I'm like, you know, Albert Einstein was a devout socialist. Martin Luther King was a democratic socialist. Right. Helen Keller was a democratic socialist. She actually went out and spread the word of democratic socialism. And you talk to anybody in those circles and they do some research, you give them just a little bit of time to figure out what's going on, pull them out of the rhetoric, pull them away from Fox News. And they realize it's not really a bad thing. It's the next evolution of our economic system.
Right. You know,
capitalism and democracy really don't work too well together. They work okay, a little bit better than monarchy and
serfdom
and democracy. Exactly. But we've moved so far away from that now. We don't need capitalism anymore. We need workers to be able to control the means of production. We need, you know, working class people to be able to get the benefits of the society in which they live. We don't need a ruling class anymore. I mean, it's a joke that we think, oh, five guys in a room smoking cigars can decide all of our fate. That's not how it works anymore.
Right. If you want a good. All right. Cigar. Thank you, Constantine. A pleasure to get to know you a little bit, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you.
Congratulations. Let's hear it.
Take care.
What the hell are you talking about?
If you want a good cigar.
Los Angeles.
If you want a good cigar.
That's so great.
Tell me they're not.
Do we know who...
Come on.
Have we told people who's playing the trumpet on that song?
Does anybody know?
Does anybody want to guess? Oh, and we also have trivia about the Beatles, Beatles 2001 to get to.
Well, so someone got it does in anybody, the chat.
Let's,
oh, really?
Does anybody want to, let's take
who
a Zoomer.
The answer? Who had the answer to the Beatles chat? DM me real quick. The Beatles quiz.
Somewhere over nobody? The rainbow.
You know who's doing that?
Well, let's take a rando.
I don't know. Joe Rogan? All right.
No.
One of our
is that you?
One of our ladies in the Zoom would be nice
David
to hear
Lynch
from.
On trumpet.
All right.
We
got a group. We always like talking about a group. We got a party.
Oh.
A super spreader event. Peter Char.
Pizza.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm
hi guys.
Big party.
What is going on? Are you guys? Are you guys being safe?
We are piloting COVID in Dublin.
Yeah.
We all live together.
That's right. We live together.
What is that? The guy from Queer Eye for the Straight Guy behind you there with the hair and the beard and everything? What the hell's the matter with you?
Oh, that's Russell Brand.
Hey, Tony, you doing all right?
She did the hair.
That's me.
So where are you guys? You said you're in Dublin?
Yeah, we're in Dublin.
Yeah.
Just one person talk. Listen, find you. I want to see you guys nominate a spokesperson for this group. And now the rest of you shut your mouth and let him speak, because I can't have everybody chiming in. Now, what is it that you want?
we're wondering how you can diversify your audience, because I'm looking through and it's
insane.
It's a sea of white here.
I know.
Look at your room though, too, though. Cool. I mean, it's a sea of white.
Yeah, why don't you diversify?
Well, I there we go. Okay. I actually have an Irish space pun.
Okay. Well, let's hear an Irish space pun from producer Matt.
You guys want to hear it in Ireland? Okay. I was traveling in Ireland.
I only want to hear from Vic.
Oh, okay. All right. Vic, you got one.
No, hold on.
I'll give you my
Irish space pun. This guy doesn't run the show. I run the show.
Go ahead, Matt. Irish. Okay. So I was traveling in the countryside in Ireland. Suddenly, I really had to go to the bathroom real bad, and I was in the middle of nowhere in the countryside, and I'm driving along, I'm looking for a bathroom, and finally, I see a shepherd, and I say, oh, you know, excuse me, sir, I really have to go to the bathroom, can you help me out, where can I use the bathroom, and he said, oh, you just go over yonder to the John Glenn, plenty of bathrooms there.
All righty.
The John Glenn.
The John Glenn. Hey, look at that beef. What is that? Is that some Irish stew you got there, kitty? Aye, it's the Irish beef stew, eh? It's smoking.
Can you smell it?
Yeah. Is it lamb stew, eh? Shepherd's pie.
Beef.
Yes. Aye. It's too hot to eat.
I am starstruck.
All right, listen. I don't know what to do about the diversity issue. I've got a lot of I don't know. It's what do you want me to do?
You
it's
higher
than a Wilco concert.
Tell Matt to stop locking them out, right. Locking the different diverse people out.
You know? I mean, wider the better, you know. That's what we say in Dublin.
No,
no, they don't say that there.
That's not nice.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Mike. In some
place. How you doing? What you guys up to? You just hanging out, watching the show?
We've been sitting around for weeks trying to plan what to say when we eventually get called on and get to talk to you.
Well, it's a great opportunity to ask any questions you might have about my work or any life advice I can offer you.
How do you plan on taking down the Titan of podcasts, Joe Rogan? I assume you guys have a battle plan or something planned out to attack him.
Friendly person who just wants to laugh and have fun.
I don't care. I don't really care, you know, that much.
I miss you.
I just, the only thing I did was I've been paying for Spotify for a long time.
Calm down.
Because it's a kind of an easy thing. It's an easy way to get music. You know, it's fairly well designed to listen to music.
I was looking for a quicker answer.
Sit down.
This guy's a piece of work. I'm gonna cut. Look at this guy in the back eating his fucking stew with the steam coming off it. Can you wait till I'm done talking before you're cramming that stew in your mouth? So all I did was I canceled my Spotify because the guy had Alex Jones on for 3 hours spouting a bunch of bullshit, a bunch of shit about vaccines and this whole crazy conspiracy about the Democrats being Satanists. It's like, you know, the fucking guy's talking about eating. What?
He's got the documents.
He always says he's got the documents.
I got the documents. I got this in. Just came to me. It's classified stuff. It's from an inside source. It says that Joe Biden has just eaten baby brains and that he's been speaking with, he has Emmanuel Lewis. Emmanuel Lewis used to play Webster. Emmanuel Lewis has been, they've been using Emmanuel Lewis's semen to make these baby farms happen so they can have these babies that come out real tiny.
Is that Emmanuel Lewis, he passed away. We've discussed this before. Has he passed away?
Yeah, he did die.
He did die. But we've frozen
the sperm samples from Emmanuel Lewis. So he is able to, Democrats and Soros are able to farm baby farms off of Webster's semen.
I don't know. I don't care. You want to listen to that shit? Go ahead. What do I care?
Breaking news.
Go ahead.
Amanda Lewis is not dead. Sorry. Gary Coleman is.
Yes.
Sorry.
I think we go through this about every six months. Yeah. All right, you fucking mix. You Irish rotten potatoes.
Greg for us.
Huh?
Say hi to Greg for us and Mark.
Of course.
I hope they're doing well.
Of course.
Thanks, Tim.
Thank you, guys. May the luck of the Irish smile.
Like my number
cut his mic.
I know. He's got to go.
He's got to go.
First of all, he's so handsome.
He's kind of weird.
I broke him. It made you laugh.
Why was Jupiter stoned?
I need to talk to Fran. Fran.
Tim, I got
to
get my puns in.
Yeah, get it in. Get it in. You got like 30.
Fran, how you doing? Can we see Fran?
Go ahead.
Now what?
Oh, I think is her audio working? Did you unmute her?
I don't have that option with her.
Yeah, I think that's because her audio is not working. Fran, can you turn your audio on? Let's talk to...
Well, wait a minute. No, it smells so good.
Yeah, hers is broken. Let's talk to David and Katrina.
All that cheese.
David and Katrina.
Bacon?
They've got puns.
All right. You have asbestos mouth. I can't have too much. You can have a little too much.
You guys have Julia Child?
Yeah.
Aw, look at the little baby. Newborn.
Pretty new, 2 months old.
Congratulations. Her name's What's her name?
Winnie. Windsor. We call her Winnie.
Winnie? But from the Wonder Years.
Funny enough, from the Wonder Years, it's her. Interestingly, she was the baby that your daughter suggested the name of Lucy back on episode 102. Oh. Called in for advice. We didn't go with Lucy.
I understand.
But only because my cousin's named Lucy.
So
that causes some trouble. Well, you got that rocking chair there. That's perfect. What are you, in a bar? It looks like you're in a pub.
Mummy.
It's our home. Yeah, it looks like a pub. It's a old wooden.
Wow. It's beautiful. Look at this life.
Yeah.
So happy. You're glowing. Hi, Winnie. Yeah. I'm going to be your favorite comedian when you grow up.
Yep. It's Uncle Tim.
Say hi.
Say hi.
Or will I be irrelevant?
We've got puns.
Okay. I'm going to be irrelevant by the time Winnie gets. I'm going to be like washed up. Just like they said. And my career is over.
The true Hollywood story.
Be in the homeless camps.
Tim.
That's grim.
In Burbank, where
people
that.
Like Tim.
That guy won't be doing anything.
I understand.
About
I know the city councilman.
That do nothing Democrat is going to do nothing.
I just want to talk to him. Get out of here, you scum.
Get
what's your pun?
Go.
Okay. So you guys know Galileo, right? He's been called
Galileo,
the father.
Galileo.
Mm-hmm. The one and only father of modern science. So the truth is, he was a total sham. He was a drunk and he was legally blind. He couldn't have made the discoveries that he's given credit for.
Oh my God.
He had an assistant named Peter Viviani, and he was the one that made all the discoveries.
Ah. But
the story goes that one night the archdiocese in charge of heavenly discoveries was sent from the Vatican and, you know, was there to meet with Galileo to discuss the different stars and different discoveries in the sky. Galileo was drunk off his ass and he was totally out of his depth because his assistant had gone to run some errands. And when the archdiocese pointed at this one blurry spot and said, well, what's that? Galileo said, is that Jupiter? Because his assistant name was Peter. Pretty good.
Listen, your wife seems to love it, and that's all that counts. Your wife seems.
Wait, I've got one more.
She's proud of you. She's like, I love him. He's an idiot, but I love him. He's mine. He's going to be a good dad. I'm just glad he's not trying to do this professionally. That's the key. If he was trying to go for this professionally, we'd have problems. But it's his fun little hobby. And I support him. Go ahead. What's your second one? Let's see if he can redeem himself, Doug.
All right.
Do you know? You want to know my favorite Elton John song?
I do.
Rocket Man.
I had that one.
But that's not. I don't know. I mean, it's funny that we've taken Paul's Rocket Man and used it for Elton John purposes, but it's not a pun that, because Elton John's song, Rocket Man, is about space. It's a literal,
mine
it's not a play on words.
So he was saying the drop. He was saying Rocket Man, right? I mean,
yeah.
So there you go. It works.
But that's, no, because the question he was asking was, what's my favorite Elton's song. Favorite John song? Well, the answer is Rocket Man.
It should have been something like that. How did the guy get to the moon? Rocket Man.
Yeah. That you know what I'm saying? Like the question, that's important. That's an important aspect.
So, yeah.
And now the wife has left you. She's leaving. Your wife has left you.
We made our baby cry.
She's like, I'm going to give you one more chance to redeem yourself in front of the Trinity. And if you blow it, I'm out of here and I'm taking little Winnie with me. And now now you've got nothing.
I'm alone.
All right.
I'm going to join you in the tent cities.
All right. Well, thank you so much anyways. It was a nice effort, but the audience is nonplussed.
I've got a music-related pun. Can I try this?
Go ahead.
All right. Did you hear Neil Armstrong's review? Neil Armstrong got into music critique, by the way. Did you hear Neil Armstrong's review of the collaboration record between Till Tuesday and the cast of Mad About You? It's one small step for Amy Mann, one giant leap for Richard Kind. There we go.
All right.
Hey, you want to try some super chats? I have a new method. I'm trying like a copy paste thing.
Where in the Google Doc?
Yeah, go in the doc.
Go in the dock.
Go in the dock, and I'm going to send you to another.
Oh, great.
Click that link. See if that works for you. Scroll up to 10:05.
Okay.
What?
All right. This is great for the show. Oh, great. I need access.
Ah, shit.
Wonderful.
I remembered
when. All right, I'm going to fix it. Okay, it's fixed.
The next morning to get the bury them all out. Listen,
we're learning and growing.
And I remember during that.
Oh, Lord. Okay.
Does that work? Is that good?
That works fine. In the commode. Kevin McAleeky, if you like the Beatles, you probably love Acid Henge. Okay, I'll check that out. Paul Bianetti, case managers assigned to individuals at housing, at a Housing First approach has shown promising results from what I've read. Whatever. Wasted Tapes, KW Miller got 2.2% of the vote. Checking in on KW Miller. That's exciting. Thank you, Grant Hallmark says Moonbase 8 is great. Bill Thomason says, "I love your beautiful bone." These are all. This is a lot of irrelevant comedies comments.
Well, they're old now.
Closing Midnight. Rudy, love the jam. I found out this morning had not listened to my Rudy at the Four Seasons song.
So rude, I know. And I haven't seen all of Moonbase yet, so
there's a lot to get through.
There's a lot of content to get to.
And then Gray Niner, of course, good old Gray Niner, saying, "More truck horns, please." Well, he's just obsessed. He's obsessed with his own horning. Okay. We've cleared the super chats for now. I'm sure there'll be more coming in now that people have finally realized that I am acknowledging them.
They were getting a little upset that you weren't.
I apologize. We're trying our best to put on a good show.
Like Pancho Verde just said, why do cows have bells? Because their horns don't work.
Hi, thanks, folks.
Did somebody in the super chat guess my Beatles / 2001 connection?
I saw it somewhere. Who was it? Someone in the Zoom or someone in the YouTube chat?
2001, what? Because that was what, 1969, wasn't it?
There you go.
That'd be. Somebody, Anton, a cameraman. Anton says he worked knows. On. Is it an actor?
Really? Anton, are you there?
Let me unmute.
Something to do with the rooftop concert.
Here's Anton.
Hey. Hey, how's it going? So that 2001 connection to the Beatles is that I believe that, well, they used for Magical Mystery Tour, didn't they use the footage from, I thought it was from Dr. Strangelove, actually, not 2001.
No, that's not what I was looking for.
Oh, sorry. Fuck.
That's not what I was looking for. What I was looking for is the guy, Dan Richter is his name. Dan Richter is the was the main ape in 2001, who was sort of known, he was a famous mime in the mime world.
Thank you very much.
In England, he was the guy that, you know, we see throw up the bones and everything, and he was living with John and Yoko at the time. I don't know, around that time. Welcome. He was the house. He was John and Yoko's. He's the housemaid of John and Yoko's. He was also a junkie. He was a heroin addict who was sort of John Lennon's.
I'm bringing all this shit. I'm bringing it to Georgia. I'm sorry.
What the hell's going on?
No.
What is going on?
What is going on?
Who is there?
Is that Cassie?
It's a car. Car cam here.
How did Cammy do?
This is Cammy.
Is this James Corden karaoke?
What are you guys doing?
What is going on?
First of all, I got Beatles drops going nuts back here.
Cammy, how did you do that?
What did they do?
Adaptation they wanted to do.
Anton's still talking.
Anton, what?
Sorry. The Lord of the Rings adaptation the Beatles wanted to do. They wanted Stanley Kubrick to direct it. I don't know if that's
they did. I'm sure there's other connections, but the big one for me, again, I'll say it again because it was a total cacophony. If you'll just let me get this out. Dan Richter played the ape. He was also living with John and Yoko. Probably the guy, I don't want to accusation the shit out of this guy, but pretty much sure he got Lennon. Many people are saying he got Lennon into the brown sugar, the good stuff.
Old turkey.
Ross Phillips has another connection.
Temperature's rising. What's that? Another
Ross
connection?
Ross has another connection to the movie.
Okay, Ross, what's your secondary connection?
Well, the bit with the apes, the ape that gets
beaten to death was played by Ringo.
The ape that gets beaten to death was played by Ringo?
Really?
That's not correct.
I'm warning you with peace and love.
The ape that plays the...
Help!
Well, Ringo was in a movie called Caveman, but that's yeah. different.
I get high with a
Well, you know who can settle this? An actual journalist.
Dave Weigel.
Unlovable.
All right, let's talk to guys.
Dealer.
Dave, you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Where are you coming in from?
I'm in Atlanta, Georgia. I just was with one of the Democrats running for Senate there. So my job is not done.
Wait, are you about to make a big? Are you about to make a rant video about cancel culture? All you need are your sunglasses.
sir, no, I'm a sovereign citizen. Sir, I do not recognize the authority of your laws inside this vehicle. Yeah, I realize why those guys do it. It's kind of fun. I honestly just got out of it. Was pulling over.
Okay, good.
I'm not breaking laws anymore.
I don't want to witness the head-on collision of Dave Weigel in Atlanta, Georgia. There's a lot of accidents.
This is illegal.
Good to see you, friend. How's everything? You're on the road. I assume you're covering what we have a new feature here in the studio that's not exactly working correctly. What is the focus of your coverage this week? What are you down there doing?
A lot more than I thought. So I was here to cover the Senate race, right? There's two Senate seats that went to runoffs. If Democrats win both, they go 50-50 in the Senate. If they don't win them, they don't. So I was here to cover that, and then Republicans demanded and got this recount, which actually could end up as two recounts, but there's one happening kind of now. It's really getting underway in the next days. They're going to count 5 million ballots to make Trump feel like it wasn't stolen. Not that it's going to do that. But this is all the political, the voting that's still happening and the recounting that's happening. It's all here right now.
What's the second recount? State of
Georgia.
What do you mean when you say the second recount?
Not to get too complicated, but I guess it's kind of funny. So the state audits the vote to make sure everything went well. And that they decided that to audit it, you need to recount everything. But then when they're done with that, Trump could also request a different recount.
I think we have a very strong chance of winning.
It's really weird. And it's a lot. It's like, you know, 5 million ballots is a lot, right? That's a lot of people just
leaking what do they
through
mean?
Stuff with the
they have to do ballots. A hand count.
Yeah.
Doesn't that seem more
so
prone to error?
Tables, yeah.
Doesn't that seem more prone to error than like the way it gets counted through the machines?
It kind of is, except sometimes like the machines just don't, you know, and this happened to me. I was eating dinner when I filled out my early ballot in DC and splashed like Sichuan chili oil on it. So I had to double check. So I had to double check that it was taken, but really that kind of stuff, like an absentee ballot maybe was wet and the machine didn't take it. So they'll always find, if there's 5 million votes, they'll find like,
right,
I don't know, 1,000 errors. But the problem is for them is Biden won by 14,000, and that's, you know, right, statistically that never gets overturned unless there was just some computer somewhere that accidentally added 50,000 votes to Biden. That's not going to overdo it.
Yeah.
They just need to. Yeah, I was at a protest yesterday with not Alex Jones, but the Owen Schroyer, the the sidekick on Alex Jones,
the guy with the little beard.
He's just doing like an Alex Jones impression, basically.
So what was he saying?
He was like, well, the fact that there was going to be recount at all shows that Biden's going to lose. That's what he was telling people. He's been wrong about some things in the past. So I was skeptical.
Oh, come on, man.
Well, what about the latest claim from the president about this Dominion, the Dominion software company, whoever's doing? Because there is sort of this, the Democrats have this going back last 4 years ago, this idea of the computer voting is very susceptible to hacking and very susceptible to, you know, all kinds of shenanigans. Where's his new stuff coming from? This Dominion shit.
That's all OAN. That's the One American News Channel. So their standards are not great. I mean, this is a channel that literally called the Alabama race for Roy Moore over Doug Jones when that wasn't what happened.
Right.
So that report is factually not true. I mean, we just keep kind of getting exasperated and saying, this is not true. This is not true. But it came from that. It doesn't make sense because what conservatives are, and I've seen this before, like this did happen after 2004, like Robert F. Kennedy Jr., the anti-vaccine Kennedy,
yeah,
had this whole thing was because, well, the exit polls showed that it was tied and yet Bush won. So something went wrong. But exit polls get like refreshed overnight, and the ballots, the system now in Georgia, not that anything's perfect, but they do have paper backup. So the stuff where somebody just went in and fiddled with the machine and rigged it, that's, you know, I guess anything's like any Ocean's 13 thing is possible.
Right.
But statistically, an election where Republicans did better than they thought in Georgia, like they thought they're going to lose more seats down the ballot,
right,
where they got two runoffs, like the evidence that somebody went in and meddled and was like, oh, we're just going to tweak it by this much. There is none.
Right.
But that's what he's talking about. It's an OAN thing that says because some stuff was changed on election night, that means that they might have deleted, like, I think they said 2.7 million votes,
yeah,
which makes no sense.
That's a lot.
But what happens, I mean, yeah, but like the way votes are reported is everyone is at the precinct, and the precinct has either calls somebody or has like a software, and it says, hey, this precinct, we had, you know, 500 Biden votes and 400 Trump votes. And there's some precincts that say, oh, no, wait, what we meant was we had, you know, 50 Biden, right, votes and 40 Trump votes. So that stuff happens. And if you're watching TV, the numbers can move.
Yeah.
But that's always what that is.
And it's, yeah, like, yeah, it's just human error and some people that are probably under, yeah, a lot of stress. Can you imagine that? Like, it's so key to think about on the precinct level, because so many of these people, yeah, I felt so bad when all these accusations were going, because we've all been to these places. They're just like nice, normal people, yeah, who are just doing, mm-hmm, their like civic duty to try to help out that day. There's some people that kind of do it. That's their job. And there's supervision and that kind of stuff. Yeah. But so many of these people, no one's in the position to like make this, this nefarious decision to like throw in a national election. That's why it's kind of nice. Yeah. It's all spread out. I mean, it feels like there needs to be some kind of national standards, perhaps, but the like, mm-hmm, some kind of baseline like process that gets kind of enacted everywhere. But what do you think? I mean, what is your like? We're sitting at a bar having a beer. What is your, yeah, 2 cents about where this is going over the next couple of weeks with Trump? Is it truly impossible to, mm-hmm, say how he's going to back off of the ledge of the way he's talking? I mean, what's he going to do?
I think we'll have victory.
I just heard the drop.
Yeah.
So there's not much he can. I mean, like, if it was easy enough to say, we got fewer votes, we're going to sue and have the state say we won, like, people would just do that all the time. That'd be great. You know, it's like
this would be the go-to move.
Losing's pretty bad. So it'd be great if you could just say, we don't think we did. But there's a bunch of, I'll go into all the details, but all the lawsuits, basically, the premise is not we found enough votes to swing the election. The premise is we have enough questions raised that a judge should look at this and say, I guess we don't know who won and that we can't assign the electoral votes. And that is, that's never been done. That's about, I take it back. That was done in 1876 when, uh-huh, like, the result was bringing back Jim Crow, well, creating Jim Crow, actually.
Right.
And but it's not, doesn't happen that often that people say, you're right, it was a weird election, we're going to throw it out. There was proof of, you know, fraud in an election in North Carolina a year ago, and they just had another congressional election was their response. I think that's probably, you'll probably hear somebody on Fox or OAN float that, like, why can't we just vote again? Which you can't, because there's a deadline for the Electoral, right, College. I think, so not like I know every judge and they're all going to do this. But it's not like Trump has found a lot, because let's say you got a lawsuit and says, hey, we found on the rolls there's like 50 people who voted, but they had felonies in our, right, state, they can't vote. Well, you can't say, oh, well, I know who they voted for because it's a secret ballot. So it's all about let's throw enough stuff in there that some judge says, I guess Trump's right. This is so confusing. We're just not going to count it. And that's not been happening anywhere.
So two things. One is, I like the idea that you say that this has never happened before, but what concerns me is we're in like a year, yeah, of shit that's never happened before. And
yeah, yeah. I always hesitate when I say, right, that. Yeah.
But, what is his, I mean, is he just going to eventually say, well, I can't, we lost, but we still think we won, and go fuck yourself. And I'm going to be over here contesting this for the next you know, 4 years, and it's, we're going to have this kind of opposition party, which, you know, fair enough. The Democrats had that after 2016 to some degree. There was plenty of people saying it was a stolen election and the Russians meddled and everything. Is that just, we're just going to have the bizarro version of that for the next 4 years?
I think so. But to be fair to people then, it was it wasn't, we think the votes were counted wrong and you should throw it out. It was, you know, I'm just describing it, not defending it. The ones I talked to 4 years ago were saying, yeah, this is our system, but one candidate won the popular vote and the candidate who fell over the line, electoral college, is crazy. And the electors should have the right to. So they're not even saying that. They're just saying the election was fraudulent. I think a way this could, because the thing about Trump is that when he lost the Iowa caucus, he said it was rigged and they should have a new election. When he won in 2016, he said the popular vote was rigged. Every time he loses, he says it's rigged.
Right.
So he's always going to, I always said, if this was like a 15-point landslide, he would say, that's crazy, it's rigged. Right. I had big crowds and no one had a big crowd for Biden, so clearly it was fraud. Right. He was always going to do this. So I think he'll probably never concede. He will like say that there was uncertainty about the election. He's leaving his options open to run for president again, and he will try to lead kind of a resistance movement outside the president. I think that's the most likely.
Will he show up?
That's more likely. Okay, sorry.
Oh, sorry. Will he show up at inauguration day for Biden and do the transfer of power?
Yeah. I think he might not even, like, because that's not going to be fun. That's going to be him listening to...
It's listening so embarrassing. For
2 hours, I guess. I mean, he'd need to sit there. He'd be surrounded by people like, you know, Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton and Barack Obama all celebrating.
Sitting there like this with his arms crossed. What about?
Yeah.
I was talking to my friend this morning. We're sort of describing the scenario because I think Kelly or Kaylee McEnany was saying that Trump will be the titular head of the Republican Party for decades to come. And so we're like picturing 100-year-old Trump, and we were looking up pictures of Sumner Redstone, like the last few years of Sumner Redstone. He looks like this this living corpse with a toupee sitting on top. It's kind of fun to imagine like this slowly dying, diseased.
Or when they brought Trump Dole to the
RNC. Bob Dole is just like, and they're just wheeling Trump out in front of rallies, and he's got to do his YMCA dance, held up by strings. There's something fun about that he is around for a while, but he's just a total clown.
Maybe there's like a Ben Garrison picture of Trump in a closet somewhere, and Trump himself cannot age.
Yeah,
there's a very muscular Ben Garrison painting of his family tends to age kind of normally and then get dementia, right? Like his dad got dementia and died. One of his brothers alcoholic. The other one was like fine until he got COVID.
Right.
But so and some people, quickly. I mean, I think it's more just when he's no longer got legal invulnerability and, you know, memos coming from his attorney general saying actually crime's not illegal if he does it.
Right.
I think it's more, how much is the Republican Party's mission just going to be like defending the former president from lawsuits? And I'm not trying to spin a resistance fantasy. I'm just saying there's going to be a like ongoing stuff that he now can be subpoenaed for.
Right.
So I think the idea of him just going around saying whatever he wants is fanciful, but no, he'll hold rallies. People want him to campaign for him. He'll come in for special elections. Like they're definitely in for a pound with him now. And I was with a couple of Republicans who thought they were going to run for president in 2024, like 2 weeks ago. And they will not come out and saying, yeah, I'm going to vote for him. But like I was with Rubio yesterday. Was it yesterday? 2 days ago with Marco Rubio. And people are asking about his future and like, you know, doesn't know what it is. Cause like he assumes Trump is going to want to run the party until something happens to him.
Yeah. I can't imagine Marco Rubio wants to get back into the primary with Donald Trump again. That's an absolutely humiliating experience.
Did not end well.
So the Chapo guys had an absolutely fantastic idea for Trump, which is the talk show, the competing late night, like go up against the Tonight Show, the Trump Show. He'd come out there'd be no script. He'd get out there, do a monologue, rant, and then talk to famous people. Talk to Rich Little and
Davi.
I would think that Mike Huckabee's sweating that because he's like my Huckabee Tonight Show could get swept away.
Tim, I like your idea where he goes into a White House like a Truman
simulation.
Show kind of Truman Show situation where he still thinks he's the president and he's got a cast of characters.
Yeah,
higher.
Well, Go ahead, Dave. Sorry.
I was going to say, yeah, they give them like the President Show set. They wheel that out from whatever studio it was at Comedy Central.
Right.
No, that's not crazy, right? And he's much funnier than Mike Huckabee. Like, he knows what a joke is, and he knows, like, Huckabee can't even really tell a mean joke in a way that lands, whereas Trump definitely can. Trump can, like, make fun of people in a way it lands. I don't think that's crazy at all. I think, so the thing about Trump always was that you weren't just supporting him because of his policies. You were forgiving, a lot of his voters were forgiving whatever he did, because he just made them feel good. So, like, the Trump MAGA lifestyle, I don't see any reason why that would stop. There's going to be people who don't care about politics in any way. They just love him.
Or policy.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, I never thought if he lost, he was going to go away. I was joking back during impeachment. It was like, well, if they actually remove him, he'll just, like, run against Pence in the primary and beat him and be the nominee.
I mean, they never acted like the winner in a way, like, in the past 4 years. It was always that we were the opposition to the deep state. There's always that feeling of, like, you know, once, and it never delivered. It was never like, well, you guys won, you have power. If you want to, like, prosecute Hillary Clinton for her crimes, why aren't you? You
know? Like, Trump would tweet, do something.
Yeah,
something.
So it's going to be
in general. Yeah. Please investigate.
It's not going to feel that different to see him now actually being in the opposition saying the same shit. It's just going to...
Like, no, I think you're totally right. Yeah.
All right. Well, as long as I'm totally right. And we just do want to also thank you, Dave, for on election night, you called in. It was a lot of fun that night. Yeah. But we were going through a period where it was feeling like Trump was winning, taking a lot of... And you reminded us that it was going to look like this, and that even though, I guess you could talk maybe for a second about the polls, everyone said the polls were so wrong, but... Overall, if you look at the totality of how everything went, it did go a little bit the way it was predicted on the presidential level.
Yeah.
I mean, there were polls that were crazy. Yeah, so, were saying Biden was going to win by 15 points and stuff. But in general, it kind of played out as predicted.
Yeah, actually, it was kind of the opposite of 4 years ago, where the average of the state polls was better than the national poll average. National poll nailed it last time. I think this time it ended up being plus... 8 Biden, it's going to end up maybe being plus 4.5 or 5. But the polling models just they assume like a really big electorate, and I think they missed some of the the guys who don't vote in any election but they love Trump. It turned out if there was 5 million of them, it would have been a landslide. There were more like 9 million of them, and that pushed everything closer. But the polls in the key states were on, and unlike last time, there was polling in, like, Georgia, where I'm at right now, the polling underestimated how Democrats were going to do, which did not happen in 2016. The polling in Michigan was pretty right, with a couple of outliers. Like, the poll there that's seen as the gold standard poll, final thing was the Epic poll, it's called, which is kind of funny. The Epic poll in Michigan, even funnier, the leader of the guy who runs that poll's name, Bernie Porn. And every 4 years, people realize there's a guy named Bernie Porn who runs the Epic poll. Every 4 years, it's amazing.
What? Is that EPO? What? How, or is it Epic?
Epic, like a Faith No More song, or like a meme. Wow. Epic, and then his last name, P-O-R-N, which is...
Want another one?
This is Bernie Porn.
It was, the family name was Pornography, but then they moved to Ellis Island, they shortened it. but like, they were like, oh, Biden by 5. The Senate race is like a little bit less, and that's what happened. Pennsylvania, the polls were like, I think a little bit closer than, or a little bit more optimistic for Biden, but it wasn't like before. And Trump didn't get like every single undecided voter like he got last time, and because there was almost no third party vote, that didn't split. So the polls were not terrible. And by the end of this, the things that were really wrong were the thing that's driving people crazy in Washington, is Democrats, I should say, and some Republicans, is that they pay for the good polls, right? They have these people who, they don't just work for like a newspaper. They make a lot of money. They do these focus groups. They do the real research, and their polls were really bad. Like, they thought stuff that was tied ended up going 10 points. Like, because those, Montana, for example. Yeah.
Those polls are valuable to them because that's how they decide how to spend money. That's how they decide where to focus things. Like, the polls we look at don't really, it shouldn't matter to you. It shouldn't be something you really follow that closely. It doesn't really, it's just weird. Yeah. It's like a weird hobby for people. But like, polls used by campaigns are like actual tools that help them decide what they should be doing, their priorities. All right, man. Listen.
And they were totally wrong. Yeah. go ahead. Sorry, I keep interrupting you, but I'll listen.
You just listen now. You stop.
Oh, come on, man.
With your filibustering.
Okay, good. Get him out of here.
Say it again.
All right. Well, no, I just want to wrap things up because we're going long on our show. It's nasty a quick guy, moving show. Do you have any space puns? Do you have any puns on about space you want to contribute? Or are you too busy to think about stuff like that?
Oh, I missed the opening joke. Dang, no.
No, that's okay.
I have poll numbers. I don't have jokes. I have serious stuff. I don't know.
We weren't expecting.
The space thing? I missed the space thing.
We're just doing space puns. Here, Doug, give Dave one of your space puns.
Why did the Korean guitar taste delicious?
Why did the Korean guitar taste delicious?
Because it had.
I don't know why.
Because it had boba frets.
Oh.
All right.
Why did the SJW astronaut get picked on by the MAGA astronauts?
Why did the SJW astronaut get picked on by the MAGA astronauts?
Because he kept asking for a safe space station.
Okay. Thank you very much, Dave.
Why was Saturn's wife upset?
Awesome.
Hold on one more. Why was Saturn's wife upset?
Because he wasn't wearing his rings.
Okay, thank you. His ring, not rings.
I got a big laugh.
Bye. That's what goodbye. We're talking about. Let him go.
He bailed.
Let's talk to Steph. Steph, are you ready?
Steph or Steph 2? Steph.
This guy's back?
Hello?
Hi.
Steph.
This guy.
Steph-a-hi.
Hi there.
Steph-a-hi. How are you?
Hello, I'm doing really well. How are you guys?
Really good. How can we help you today?
Now, what can I do for you, Tuts?
I got nothing for you. I like Moonbase 8 a lot.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, I like how your character was going to the moon to spread religion, but was seemingly pretty like bad at religion. Didn't even know how to do a dinner prayer. That was funny.
Thank you. Well, people are loving the show. It's nice to hear. It's a...
When are you going to stop playing games with God?
Like I've said before, it's a salve. It's a nice show. It's funny. It's not trying to be so serious. I heard some negative things about it, saying it's not. It's pretty light. It's light. I'm like, that's more. Who cares? Why does everything have to be so dire and dark?
There's a dirty
mean.
Cash prize of $1,000, and
I do that shit
perfect
all day long.
Fuck them.
Donald
Trump. All right. Thank you, Steph. You
dumb son of a bitch.
Yeah.
We want a pun? You want a new pun?
Sure. Oh, yeah. I like you going through these Trebek.
There's a daily cash prize of $1,000 and fuck.
That's very funny. You know what? Fuck Alex Trebek. I'm sorry to be the guy to say it. But fuck him.
Ouch.
I'm so sick of this. He's just a guy that reads off a card. I can do it. Watch this. Trivia Pursuit. Here we go. I have it right here. It's not so hard. Watch this. Doug, you little prick. Here's how it's going to go. Doug? Where are you from, Doug?
Darien, Illinois.
Huh? Where?
Illinois.
Oh, yeah? And it says here that you are a musician. You make beats. What's that about?
Yeah, Alex, I play around with music on my computer.
Okay, this cowboy tune is the official song of Kansas.
Fuck 'em.
This cowboy tune is the official song of the state of Kansas.
What is Camp Town Races?
Incorrect, you idiot. It's what is Home on the Range?
Oh, right, yeah.
You dumb son of a bitch.
See, you cunt.
Fuck, fuck.
And we have Vic Berger from Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. Vic, thanks for being with us today.
Glad to be here, Alex.
Who has the most voluptuous females in Toontown?
What is...
I'll do it the right way. She has the most voluptuous female... She is the most voluptuous female in Toontown.
Toontown. I don't know where that is.
Oh,
but
I know. Can I steal?
You can steal.
Here comes Doug with the steal.
Ding, ding, ding. Who is Jessica Rabbit?
That's correct. 500 points for Doug.
Wow.
You win a Maserati.
Very good.
See what I mean? Anybody with a fourth grade education can do that. Shit. We don't need Canadians doing it either. We can have Americans. actual Americans doing that kind of work.
Trebek's got the answers, too. It's not like he's, like, smart.
There you go.
God damn.
No, it's very sad, and we salute him. I'm just being facetious.
Fucking tell me they're
not corrupt. Just trying to be a little controversial because controversy creates conversation.
God damn.
Do you like that, guys? Controversy creates conversation.
Put that on a t-shirt.
What the fuck?
That'd be the worst t-shirt. Controversy.
Who would talk to that person?
Controversy.
Hey, what the fuck am
I think
I doing?
That's what the whole presidency was about. Right?
Controversy creates conversation. Join me every week. Let's do a commercial for Office Hours. Hi, everybody. It's Tim Heidecker here. Office Hours Live airs every Thursday morning at 10 a.m. on the Pacific Coast. Controversy creates conversation. Join us. those little 10 second bumpers we'll put on. Hi, everybody. This week on Office Hours, Constantine Anthony and Dave Weigel. Join us. Controversy creates conversation. Join us. Where's that music? No.
I wanted to leave that one clean.
Yeah, okay. Leave that clean.
Hi, everybody. Tim Heidecker here with the Holy Trinity. Join us this week with Constantine Anthony and Dave Weigel. Controversy. Fuck it. Let's try it again. Take it back. Hi, everybody. Tim Heidecker here from Office Hours Live. We've got Constantine Anthony and Dave Weigel coming up this morning. Join us. Controversy creates conversation. Can I get one more? Okay. Give me that other thing that you were playing.
What was the other thing?
Oh, I got it. Hold on. That's
Who do we have on the schedule next week? Do we know yet? Let's make something up. Give me a couple of perennials.
Armisen? Fred Armisen? Tim, drop some big names, and then right when the show starts, say, oh, they had to cancel, just to get the numbers up.
Okay.
O.J. Simpson.
Damn! Jeffrey Toobin?
Hey, everybody. Tim Heidecker here for Office Hours Live. Next week, we've got Ellen DeGeneres and Coldplay. Join us here. Controversy creates conversation. Hi, everybody. Tim Heidecker here. We've got an incredible show coming up next Thursday at 10 a.m. Controversy creates conversation. Join us.
Fuck. I'm friends with George Bush.
Wait, Stephanie's probably bored.
All right, well, that's not my
problem.
She
never had anything to begin with. So.
Well, listen, if you're enjoying the show today, we're going to be moving things over to the Office Hours After Hours experience, exclusive for Patreon members. Conversation creates controversy creates conversation.
Let me get a couple more puns in before. All right. Or I can save them for after. I'll save some for after.
Do one more to close things out. Don't forget, folks, controversy creates conversation.
Why was J.J. Abrams so desperate to direct Star Wars?
Why was J.J. Abrams so desperate to create Star Wars?
To direct Star Wars.
To direct Star Wars.
Few people know this, but his full name is Jar Jar Abrams.
Why does Tommy Chong love astronauts?
Jar Jar Abrams.
Why does Tommy Chong love astronauts?
Why does Tommy Chong love astronauts?
Because they're up in smoke?
Because they go far out, man.
Oh, that's funny. I had a far out, man.
Very, very good.
Yes.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you. It was a nice show today.
Did you hear that? Michael Jordan was at Chipotle recently.
Any more super chats, Matt, we can get in before the end of the show?
There was like a smiley face in there. But
oh,
not really.
Thank you. Go ahead, Doug.
Let me do one more. Did you hear that Michael Jordan was at Chipotle recently, Tim? Did you hear about this?
Michael Jordan was at Chipotle recently.
And
I didn't hear
his,
that.
His former teammate was working at Chipotle. The former teammate asked, "What would you like in your burrito, Michael?" Do you know what Michael said?
No.
Bean me up, Scotty.
Right.
Bean me up, Scotty.
Why
did TMZ host Harvey Levin become an astronaut?
Why did TMZ's Harvey Levin become an astronaut? I have no idea.
He heard there were a lot of stars hiding out in space.
I love the voice crack. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Controversy creates conversation. Join us in the After Hours experience only at Patreon. Shut up. Patreon.com. Give me your thank you for listening.
Coming up.
I love America. Oh, yes, I do. Did we break our 100,000 subscribers?
Do we have
subscribers?
Father Guido Sarducci on the waiting?
Oh, my God.
It's Father Guido Sarducci.
Wow. No, no, no.
I thought it was Giorgio Moroder.
Thank you for listening. All right, see everybody. Thanks for watching.
For you, but others hearing this, things they would argue.
The Beatles.
toys aren't here.
I do not sing what I believe. I only give them facts.
No, 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 no.
If they believe quite otherwise, it still will have impact.
My entire life right now is about owning the place. That's it.
Please stop this defund the police abomination before someone gets hurt.
Is truth, and if they then
we're gonna burn decide the to live casino with down lies, number one,
that's their concern, not mine, my friend. They're free to fantasize.
Spit in my mouth. I suppose that's true. Frankly, I find this whole thing a waste.